The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were closed where the disciples were, for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered, "Jesus, my Lord, my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As soon as we finish reading this text, the first thing that comes in our mind is to focus on the doubting Thomas. But today, as I have been contemplating and looking about this text, I began to see something that I want to share with the congregation this morning. And I have just discovered that there are scars of hope in this text. And I want to speak about the scars today. And let me tell you a story. I had the privilege to interact with some of the Sudanese lost boys. I think many of you have heard about this story. And some of these guys that I met, they had deep physical, deep scars with them. And those scars remind them about the violent civil war in Sudan and about the long journey they took to Ethiopia, to Kenya, and some other southern African countries. But I want also to tell you something. We have not seen this, but I also have a scar with me. If I wear a short, you will quickly see this scar. I was a footballer at my young age, and at some time my leg broke. So I've got a very deep, visible scar with me as a soccer player. But this morning, I want to say there are truly a story behind every scar. And our scars tell part of the story of who we are, what has mattered to us and what has happened to us, the risks we have taken, the gifts we have given. Some of the stories are painful, others are funny, some are significant, others are less significant. But I want to say, every scar serves a visible reminder of the wounds that we have incurred. And as we are reminded in this story before us in John's Gospel, this was surely also with Jesus too. Yes, last week we were saying Christ is risen. A wonderful message of Easter. And yet, scars of Jesus remind us and help us to remember the dark days between the two and the suffering Jesus he went through to justify our sins. My friends, let me remind you something. The cross was messy. Christ suffered tremendously. He was alone on the cross. But the scars of Jesus tells us differently. They serve as visible reminders that in addition to be fully divine, Jesus Christ was indeed fully human as well. So Jesus felt deep pain, and through these resulting scars and resurrection, we are able to feel deep redemption. We are able to feel hope and renewal. And as we heard from the passage we read this morning on the Christ's glorious resurrection, our risen Lord appeared to the disciples, and after greeting them with peace, he showed them his scars. They carried the marks that took his life, the marks which verified that he was crucified, that he had died. And notice that they were so frightened that the only security and comfort they could find was locking themselves up away from the world. But before his appearance, the disciples were hankered down into fear together, locked into a house. And yet, once they saw the scars of Jesus, there was transformation, and they began to rejoice. How ironic that seeing scars which were produced by pain provided joy and hope. And it is in this passage, when Jesus showed his wounds to the disciples and then to Thomas a week later, that we first glimpse why the scars of Jesus are so significant. The disciples responded with joy, and likewise Thomas replied as he declared, "My Lord, my God." But Jesus showed them his hands, the hands that had wrestled with the devil and won, and those hands had been held in death's strong grasp. But the hands of Jesus were ultimately stronger and broke death's clenching hold on him and all believers. Those hands reached out to Thomas to dispel his doubts and despair. So, in this act of vulnerability, Jesus shows his followers to find hope by sharing his story of pain and resurrection. But here is something that I want to ask, I want to pose. Isn't it curious that God, who could raise Jesus from the dead but didn't heal the nail wounds in his hands? Was it an oversight? Surely not. The power of death is conquered. But, the scars remain. So when Jesus showed his disciples his scars, he was saying, here is my signature. It's me who died on the cross. By showing the wounds in his body, he told his story that he had experienced the pain of death. But yet, he stood as a testament that death did not have the last word. Death is not the last word, my dear friends. He stood as a testament that death had been swallowed up in God's victory. But here is something about us. Sometimes we try to bury and conceal the struggles and the scandalous times in our lives because we are afraid of how others will view us. We do have the scars, but we do have visible scars, but we also have other invisible scars. And sometimes we don't share those scars. However, when we tell our own stories of joy and pain, sunshine and rain, we create the opportunity for us to become wounded healers. And Jesus still bears the wounds of his experience of God with us on earth. The resurrection did not remove his human experience. The risen Lord still bears on his body the scars that speaks of his solidarity with the human suffering in all of its forms. He still identifies with us. So when Jesus was saying to Thomas, Thomas, now touch. He was just saying, feel, and I feel your pain. He still identifies with us, with our pain today. So these scars serves as a reminder that God is with us through all things, through thick and thin, especially the appalling, destructive, and death-dealing times. My friends, the image of the risen Christ with the wounds in his hands and his side reminds us that we suffer, that so did our God. When we cry out in loneliness, so did our God. When we feel abandoned and alone, we remember that Christ hung on the cross and yelled for us, my God, why have you forsaken me? We don't have a God who stands at a distance from us, but rather one who entered into pain and the reality of sin and pain itself. So, when we suffer, my dear friends, we know that Christ can say, I have been there. I have the wounds to prove it. I am walking with you. He has a body, and he has come not just to visit, but bearing the gifts that can heal a hurting and hostile world. But there's still something I want to highlight in this text. The appearance of Jesus is not an escape from the world. You know, these guys were locked in a room. I mean, we can just think it was just locking the room. But there was a lot of drama happening in this room. One would try to peep through the windows and check who is coming. And one would rush to the door to still find whether the door is well locked. There was a lot of commotion in this room. They were not settled. There was a lot of things going on. But Jesus broke in that room and says, peace be with you. And today, my friends, Jesus is saying, peace be with you. There are still so much waters, troubled waters in our hearts. So much pain. A lot of things are going on. Peace be with you. This morning, my dear friends, God has come to break that reality by a sense and a conviction of God's grace. God's new kingdom, he has already intruded into the transformed of this kingdom, of this world, so that nothing, I mean nothing, even not work, not school, not our relationships, not even life and death will ever be the same again when Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you." My dear friends, Christ's scars become part of our story. Our scars become a part of God's story in our lives. These scars of Christ become scars of hope as we deal with our own wounds in life. Amen.